Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Vegas Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here with Sin City Steve, and we have one of the coolest interviews I think that we're going to have in this time of quarantine, because this dude is one of the coolest cats out there. One of the most intimidating looking dudes and one of the nicest dudes around, Mikey Paro. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. Besides locked in my house, but besides that, I think everybody's locked in their house. So the
question that basically comes up then is, how are you enjoying Tiger King? Did you finish it yet?
Actually, I only watched the first episode the other day. It's kind of funny because I knew who Joe Exotic was.
Yeah.
Not because he was gay, just because he was just this random figure.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know what Tiger King was about, and I saw everybody posting about it, and now I'm just intrigued because I want to learn about Carol Baskin, not about Joe Exotic.
That's the funniest thing. Everyone is turning, like, Joe's getting all the publicity, but Carol is everyone's question because everyone thinks for sure she did it.
Well, so the Tigers have to eat, don't they?
Right.
She says in the first episode she loves those Tigers more than anything in this world because they're like her.
They're man eaters. That's what it is.
Hey, she says it in the first episode. So I'm just saying, she tells on herself.
What other things are you doing to keep yourself busy? Is there anything that you might have as a suggestion for anyone who's looking to do something other than what they're doing right now, since we're trapped for another at least 30 days?
Well, I actually got married right before the quarantine hit, so this is technically my honeymoon. So if you want to really get to know your spouse really well, which is a joke because I've lived with them for 6 years now, but now I call my coworker because he can work from home.
But, that's perfect, man.
You know, we try. I was lucky because. CrossFit gym that we go to here to help them stay open because local businesses are important, just like we'll get to that with indies. But you have to support your local businesses, and to help them keep open, they rely on memberships a month.
Yeah.
Without that membership, they can't pay their bills, then they'll close. So when this all blows over, we won't have a gym anymore. So the members got together and asked if, instead of our payments, could our payments be renting the equipment from the gym to our house.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
So, because the CrossFit I go to is, CrossFit's expensive. So a lot of people that go there are very, they're okay. And, you know, we have doctors, other pro wrestlers. So we rented the equipment and brought it to our house so we could help keep that, our gym open. Cause we really like it. Cause it is a family. A lot of them came to my wedding.
Wow.
You know, and it helps us stay motivated because we're, you know, everybody's using that Zoom now. Should have invested in Zoom. Who knew?
That's right.
Everybody wants Zoom now. But, you know, we use that to stay in touch. And we tried to, on Instagram, I tag them so they can show other people that we're doing workouts at home. And besides that, I'm a creative person. So I want this. Through my whole wrestling journey, I've been writing, and I'm writing a mockumentary like The Office, but on independent wrestling.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Nice.
Yeah, and I just take everything that I've seen throughout independent wrestling, and it will make an amazing mockumentary.
Who would be your if you had one person that you would pick as kind of the Dwight Schrute of independent wrestling, who would it be?
Ooh. Colt Cabana.
That's awesome.
That's true.
He's Colt Cabana is independent wrestling. There's no other way around that. Like he is the rules of independent wrestling. Like he's literally done it all. So I don't know. I feel like he's on that the other end of wrestling now. So I feel he would be Dwight.
Yes. Yeah, I could see him also running his own, like, actual cabana, like Dwight had Schrute Farms, Colt's Cabana, where, you know, cabana boys are serving you Mai Tais in sequestered seclusion because of the coronavirus.
But it's funny because I am a huge Colt Cabana fan.
Yeah.
So when I first started wrestling, I really didn't know about independent wrestling. But like, I came from the Northeast. I was born in New York, and we had ECW. But to us, ECW wasn't independent wrestling. Well, right. We didn't know it wasn't independent wrestling because when I was coming up, Monday Night Wars was a thing, and ECW was like still kind of in the middle of it. Even though they were an independent company, it didn't feel like an independent company.
Yep.
I don't know. Right now, it's so many different levels. I would say ECW is like an MLW.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just above the indies, but not quite to the top tier of WWE sort of thing. But it's right there in the mix, still having top talent, still having great matches, and you're going to see some wild, crazy stuff. So that's what my introduction to independent wrestling was. Being from that area, though, I had this obsession with Shikara, the first Shikara.
Like, yep.
And Cabana, Eddie Kingston, Sweeney, like Quacker Butch, The Colony, I was obsessed with like how great wrestling could be,
yeah.
Like because they took something that was supposed to be so serious, it still had serious matches with great stories in it,
yep.
And it always intrigued me because they've always had great matches, but you know you had Soldier Ant and Worker Ant and Fire Ant. And all three of them have gone on to be very successful. So, you know, and I just loved watching that. That's why I chose my first character to be comedy. You know, I wanted to be in Chikara. Never worked out. And I still say that to Quackenbush now and then. I'm like, I wanted to be there.
That's awesome. Yeah, man, as you had mentioned, you know, March was a special, very special time for you as you recently married your husband. Pro wrestling has long been a sport that has really struggled with homophobia and until recently, representation among the LGBTQ community. How do you feel about being part of that representation now?
You know, when I came out, and I've said this often on other shows and interviews, I can only be what I needed to see when I was young.
Right.
You know, when I was a young fan watching, gay was a joke.
Right.
Or weak. Mm-hmm. You know, it not just in wrestling, throughout television.
Yeah.
You know, we had no superheroes. We had they never showed gay as a normal person. They didn't have normal jobs. All we had was Will and Grace, if we had that. And it was two middle-aged men, one that doesn't have a job, and the other one's a lawyer who lives with his best friend who can't, and none of them can find relationships. And it's just kind of sad to me. I've never been a huge Will and Grace fan. You know,
yeah.
Straight people loved it. It was funny, but it always showed that the gay people were the comedy. There was never a gay badass.
Right.
You know, there was never a gay sports star. And I came up through the sports world, and I played football. I played Division I football. So, you know, nice. Not seeing somebody like me hinders me. You know,
right.
Like I tell people, imagine what it would be like for athletes if they didn't have to hide their sexuality. Imagine how good they would be.
Yep.
Straight people don't have to hide. You know, imagine how many people could reach a greater potential if they weren't hiding something.
Right.
That they shouldn't hide in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I came out, I did it purely so people could like see something maybe that represents them rather than something they haven't seen before. And, you know, I'll always, you know, give credit to Martin Stone or Danny Birch, mm-hmm. as you guys know. Martin's one of my good friends. And I remember telling Martin, you know, this guy wants to interview me about, you know, being gay. And I was only out to a couple of the boys back then. And he goes, well, you should do it. And I said, you know, this is going to maybe hinder my career and it might hinder my tag partners, Odinson's. And he goes, yeah, it possibly could. But you said yourself, you had nobody. And I thought about it and he was right. You know, I talk about this with Effie a lot. The more we stay quiet, the more people look over us. Mm-hmm. The more we speak up, other people will speak up. You know, will we be hurt for speaking up? Of course we will. Has it hindered me and Effie? Of course it has. You know, that's just how the business works. But it works that way for everybody. The business is a very old carny system, and they don't like it when you speak up about things. They just don't.
Right.
It has nothing to do, and it's not about homophobia. It has everything about everything.
Right.
You know, from women in wrestling. Anytime you push the boundaries or break the way they've done things for so long, you get punished for it in some kind of way or another. But eventually it will change. You know, you won't be punished forever, you know, but wrestling is also different now. How people view wrestling is extremely different. They don't have the higher ups per se don't have as much control as they used to. Streaming services are a big thing. Right now we're doing a podcast. 10 years ago, nobody would know what a podcast was.
Right.
True.
You know, so there's so many other ways for fans to take in wrestling. And that's helped LGBTQ wrestlers like me, myself, Anthony, Jamie, Sonny, all of us.
Yeah.
Naya. Like, it helped us immensely by being able to use social media and tell us that, hey, we exist. You know, we're a reality in this world now.
Well, I also like, too, that you yourself are more of a bear.
Yes.
Where, you know, you look at the typical image when you're talking about, like, creating heroes or badasses. That typical image has always been so twink, you know, just very vanilla and skinny. Yes. And it's like, I think, you know, seeing a man your size carry himself so well, it just, I think, opens many more doors for people who are, let's say, you know, you're in high school and you're a nose tackle. That's got to be one of the worst feelings of, you know, keeping it into yourself and having to hide it. And hopefully it's helping inspire some of those people who are just, you know, more of the bigger build or the average, you know, the average Joe, like, you know, myself, a you know, 400-pound dude who could easily, you know, look at you and go, you know what? That shows me I can be who I am. And I think that's very important. And I'm so happy that, you know, you've been able to create this path for yourself.
Well, I like to tell people, like, people don't understand what it's like to be closeted. They don't, because straight people don't have that same concept. There's so much stuff that goes on, especially with coming out. Straight people experience their growth all together as a unit. So, you know, your first kiss, your first dance, the first person you sleep with, you're all on the same level of sexuality as a straight person. As a gay person, you are not. Because everybody comes out at a different time. So your sexuality is different and what you're comfortable with, what you know about the community. So that's the community itself is also up and down. And you don't know who it's very hard to pinpoint which part, like, is you. And I always say to people when they come out, you know, the old you wasn't a lie. You just weren't telling everybody all the truth about who you were. A lot of people make the mistake and think that it was a lie of who they were before. No, that's your personality. That's who you are.
Right.
You just weren't telling them the whole truth. And that affects a lot of people. And it affects a lot of people when they come out of wrestling. Because, you know, one of my main things in wrestling is not being a stereotype. And yeah. people often say, he's like, because I don't hide my sexuality, they're always like, well, you know, you don't do anything gay in the ring. Maybe you should do things gay in the ring. I go, well, that's not my character. My, I go, so should a straight wrestler just go up and make out with a girl? Or like, isn't that sexual harassment? Like, I don't understand what you want me to do. What's gay? And they're like, and a lot of times the problem is we all get compared to one another a lot, especially yeah. being open gay athletes. Like me and Effie are compared all the time. And I was like, me and Effie are nothing alike.
Yep.
Nothing alike at all. And we proved that. We a while back, like a 2 years ago, I had a debate with Lance Storm. And it was a debate. Like, it wasn't like we weren't getting angry at each other, but he had said, you can't do an LGBTQ storyline on television because one way or another it'll come off homophobic or done wrong. I go, yes, it will be done wrong if straight people write it.
Yeah.
It will be done wrong if WWE writes it. Because you'll get the Lana storyline all over again.
Yeah.
Because they're like, what would guys like? Yeah, I got it. Two hot blonde girls. Yeah, maybe they have a crush on each other. Yeah, that will be it. Meanwhile, on SmackDown, they have an open athlete.
Yeah.
He's literally like, I would like to do a story. Who's been trying to do an LGBT story. And they're like, no, we'll just pass you over because you're not blonde.
Yep.
You know, yeah. because that's straight writers writing for straight people. And like they don't. And you saw how fast that story disappeared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
When they realized that was not right. Like, and I'm not like everybody shoots and misses, but that's what Lance was talking about. The problem is me and Effie did an LGBT storyline that had nothing to do about sex whatsoever, had everything to do about loyalty.
Yeah.
Mm.
All yeah. we did was a story about loyalty. He wanted me to join him because we're both gay. We should be like on the same side. And I chose my manager over him.
Yeah.
And then we had our. Yeah. And everybody loved it.
Nice.
Because that's storytelling. What we should be doing in the first place.
Yeah.
And it was funny because, you know, straight people don't really get terms per se. So because yeah, everybody calls him daddy, which is I find hilarious, and they call me Bear. They didn't really know what they were chanting, but it was kind of hilarious to hear the crowd chant, let's go Bear, let's go Daddy. It's like a hardcore street fight, and me and Effie are trying not to laugh because we know they don't know what they're chanting, but it's still funny to hear. And we're all like, we're just smiling, like you can see it halfway toward the match, like we're smiling at each other, and I had just hit Effie with like a trash can or something, and I was just laughing because they're chanting, "Let's go, Daddy!"
Oh my god!
And I'm thinking to myself, because when me and Effie started out, because Effie's always been open, he's never at first told people he was gay, but it was everybody thought he was playing a gay character, which was really weird. Like, I was like, no, he's just being himself. But we both came up in the South, so it was very hard.
Damn,
you know, I've had people chant really random, like, I saw you dancing out of the pole at the gay bar. Like, would that make you be there?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, bro, wouldn't that mean you're there? Like, and his kids were like, yeah, you're gay. And I was like, apparently so is your dad, guys. I don't know your logic.
Plus that all important poll in the gay bars. You know?
I was like, first of all, sometimes it's a stage or a box. There's not a lot of poles. But yeah, okay, go ahead.
Oh, man. With, you know, the crowd reaction, I think that you hit on something that's very important. And that is, even though they didn't know the true meaning of what they were invested in, they were totally invested. And I think that's where the storytelling shows that you are doing one hell of a job. And that's fucking amazing.
You know, thank you, first of all. I appreciate that. Because a lot of times in wrestling, it's like, you don't know how much people watch your work until you're done.
Yeah.
If that mm-hmm. makes sense. You know, right now we have a rest period. So we're getting to see the opportunity of people being missing our work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because wrestling's always go, go, go. We're always doing the next thing. Like, we don't stop on the one thing. We just keep going forward because it's a continuous story. It's a moving comic book. And, you know, there's not a lot of downtime in wrestling. This is the first time we have a long period of a downtime. So, you know, and it's true. You don't really know if people watch your work or appreciate it. You know, you see the comments, and a lot of times you see a lot of the negative comments, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I came up in sports, and so I was used to a lot of negative comments because sports fans are just as crazy as wrestling fans.
Yeah.
So, like, especially if you're playing a rival team and, like, comments people would write about you, and you're like, first of all, I was 345 pounds in college, and I was an offensive lineman, and people would be like, he's fat. I'm like, yeah, of course I'm fat. I'm an offensive lineman. What do you think I had, an 8-pack? Like, like, we're all fat. It's kind of our thing. It's, like, what we do. We're, like, a large, like, we're very large men. Like, that's our gimmick. Like, mm-hmm. we eat a lot, and we're all really tall. It's, like... Like, I don't know why that comment sticks in my head. I was like, it was like under an interview I was giving on like a news channel, and they're like, he's fat. I was like, and I'll always remember that in college. I'm like, he's fat. And that's all it said. That's all the comment said was he's fat. Jeez. Like, not was my interview good. I was reading the kids.
You know, what's really funny about that is I was doing improv in L.A., and one of the things we would do is we'd do birthday parties for kids as part of a way to actually pay our dues instead of paying cash. We'd, you know, do these parties, and it got us credit for the classes we were taking. And so we would do this thing where we'd ask these kids to give us, you know, any questions they had, you know, just kind of play off kids and their imagination and their questions. And the one thing that we really forgot about is that kids are brutally honest. So the one kid raises his hand and literally says, how did you get so fat? And I'm standing on stage going, well, kid, I kind of ate a little too much of mom's home cooking, you know, but it was just so pure. And it's so funny that here you're talking about kids, but when you look at the internet comments, that's essentially what you're getting is just total unfiltered bullshit where you just kind of go, what the fuck? Well,
the problem with the internet is everybody, there's no, the kid is innocent.
Right.
The people mm-hmm. on that, they're thinking this out. Like,
right.
They're
right.
having, like, a lot of these people think they're having an epiphany. Like, like God told them to write this. And it's usually the worst things ever. Like, with my wedding pictures and stuff, people commenting, a wedding's between a man and a woman. I was like, well, apparently not, because we legally got married. So, like, God will strike you down. One person said gays cause the coronavirus.
I was like,
and all I said was like, you need to stop promoting that we have superpowers, or more people are going to want to be gay. I was like, because we can't be responsible for every natural disaster like the storm from the X-Men. You know, because kids at home would be like, wait, you get superpowers if you become gay? Screw this.
You know, that makes me wonder, where were you when the Haiti earthquake happened?
Listen, probably Japan.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. And actually, you know, speaking of Japan, Obviously, you know, you've competed in All Japan Pro Wrestling, their World Tag League tournament for the last couple of years. Admittedly, I personally feel that AJPW really doesn't get its proper shine. And you know, it for one reason or another, but, do me a favor, if you would, just describe for our listeners what a typical viewer could expect from an AJPW show.
Badass. See, there's Japanese wrestling is different in every promotion you go to. All Japan is historically known for their big guys. It's the King's Road style. It's the badass style. Like, you come out of that, you're a badass. Like, all, like, Hawk and Animal, Stan Hansen, Brody, you know, Dr. Death, like, all the greats, all the great tag teams went through All Japan. You know, that's why we chose All Japan, because we wanted to, I'm very big on historical things in wrestling, and I want to be, especially being an open athlete, I want to show an open athlete can also do it too, sort of thing. It's like a chip on my shoulder. It's why I wanted to be part of the NWA 70.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, and NWA had the tie with All Japan, and I wanted to go to All Japan, and I thought it would be the best bet for me and Odinson to, you know, toughen ourselves up, per se. You know, the problem with American indies is, and it's not so much the wrestler's fault or the fans' fault. It's just Americans themselves love everything to blow up, if that makes sense. They American wrestling is a Michael Bay movie. That's what it is. There's it's a basic plot, but everything needs to blow up at some point during that movie. That is independent American independent wrestling at its core, and that's New Japan. New Japan is a Michael Bay movie. They've learned that the more over the top flips, they're going to get viewers from America, and that's the market they're going for. They're not going for the Japanese market. They're going for the American market. And so that's the difference. All Japan, at why it doesn't have such a huge American following and a large Japanese following, is because they market more towards the Japanese culture. And New Japan markets to the world. Like a WWE would. You know, they're more of like, there's something for everybody. Whereas All Japan really doesn't have that mentality. It's still very old school. You have to earn your moves. Like, to be able to use your moveset, still, you have to work your way up to being respected, to even sit in certain places in the locker room. You know,
that's awesome.
You have to earn your respect, and I think we have. You know, we keep coming back. We're on the roster, so you know that's a good thing. And I will say, I came to All Japan as an open wrestler. I was open by the time I went to All Japan. And they never had a problem with me being gay. They had a lot of questions, but they never had a problem. And they never hid the fact that I was gay either. And I do appreciate that, you know. And everybody's always, they all treated me with respect in that regard. So I do appreciate that. They never wanted to make it like, why don't you do this gay thing in the ring? Because a lot of American promotions love to say that. Why don't you have a crush on Odinson? I go, why would I have a crush on Odinson? They're like, maybe you should, like, you know, grind up on this dude. I go, well, I'm a top, not a bottom, so why would I do that? The promoter was like, look at me. I go, second of all, I go, why am I locking up with the dude? I'm just going to beat the fuck out of him. So why am I locking up with him? Then I ask him, I'm like, have you watched us wrestle before you booked us? Like, like, hey, we got this gay character on the roster. I was like, is he gay? Well, no. I go, well, then why is he a gay character? Well, he wears glitter.
Oh, God.
And then Odinson will always be like, just walk away. Just walk away. Like, he wears glitter. I was like, cool. I'm like, so you're gay baiting? What's gay baiting? I was like, never mind. And, you know, it's still an uphill battle for a lot of us in independent wrestling. But luckily in Japan, like, I will say they have treated me with a lot of respect. But all rosters, you know, me and Otis would get along with the New Japan roster very well, because we see a lot of those guys in America a lot, and we're on the same shows.
Right.
One of my personal friends is Will Ospreay. So, you know, like, me and him go back and forth, and I actually brought him to his first Japanese gay bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, because a lot of the times those guys, you know, Zack Sabre is really close with me and Odinson because of the our Evolve tie. You know, he's right. More like, he really helped us out in Japan when we first got there. Him and Finn Balor gave us really good advice on, you know, the etiquette, how to act, you know, what's respectable, what's not, because it's very different than in the American culture. It very much is. It is based more on a lot of respect than it is about the Americans are a little bit different of how they treat locker rooms. And, you know, they gave us a lot of good insight and information. And so when we always go over there, Sabre brings us out to dinner and all that stuff. But one of the last times, Will was like, hey, I've never been to a gay bar, let alone a Japanese gay bar. I'll go if you want to go. And so we went, and I was like, and he's like, wow, this is really cool. I'm like, this is really mild. I want to let you know. Other gay bars in other places are not as mild. I was like, but you're doing good. You're doing good. He's like, thanks. So, you know, but it's fun because I get a lot of wrestlers here too that are very open to, you know, because as wrestlers, we all choose a place and go out afterwards or hang right. out. And now you're seeing the guys being like, well, I'll go to the gay bar with you guys. You know, it's your turn to pick. Well, do you want to go? We'll go. You know, and that's really cool that a lot of the boys and the girls are like, or women, they all want to do something outside the norm that usually was maybe 10 years ago.
Right. And like some of the places that you've visited in terms of gay bars around the country, is there one or two that sticks out? Like, for me, one of the places I love to go, we have one here in Vegas, and we had them in Los Angeles, is Hamburger Mary's, which is
Well, we actually fabulous. Have one in our... So, funny story about Hamburger Mary's in general. So, till about just recently, I wasn't a huge fan of drag queens.
Okay.
Okay. For some reason, that... they scared the living bejesus out of me. and all the drag queens I know now will probably beat me up for saying this, but for some reason I associate them with giant clowns, and I hate clowns. What happened was, when I was little, I'm not a huge scary movie kind of person. And when I was little, I watched It. And then right afterwards, I saw Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, no! Oh, no!
And then, jeez. As a little kid, I associated him and Tim Curry
with no. all of this. Oh,
so after that, I hated the movie Clue because I just kept seeing that. until this quarantine. So Morgan has now got me watching the seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, man, yeah.
I cannot be a judge on that show. I would be the meanest judge ever. Like, I'll look at him, I'm like, how is this one popular, Morgan? There's no way. This girl can't even sew her clothes. And then I'll look over at Morgan, I was like, so this is the heel of the show? And that's the baby face? And he's like, are you using wrestling terms to describe
yes.
RuPaul's Drag Race? I'm like, yeah, it's basically just independent wrestling.
It is. It is.
They're doing nothing different, minus a flip. They're dead dropping.
But yeah.
Besides that, but it's funny, we're all kind of watching it now. Like, Will's watching it. You know, Brody King loves drag queens. Brody King loves them. Loves them. But we have a Hamburger Mary's here in Orlando that I haven't been to, but I that made me laugh, you know. And back to your question, So me and Morgan, like, we like different kind of bars, so, you know, like, we like our Eagles and our Bear bars and stuff like that.
Sure.
you know, but our favorite town to go to, I would say Atlanta or Fort Lauderdale. We did like Chicago. Yeah. Montreal is very fun. I haven't been to any gay bars in California, which is really weird. And, you know, a lot of times when we go out west, I have been to a gay bar in Alabama.
Oh, wow. Yes, wow.
With Odinson.
Wow.
Yes. And Odinson was mad because it was more straight people in the gay bar than there was gay people. And he's like, well, that's not fair to the gay people in here. It's like, it's a bar, Odinson. Like, yeah, but it's not that gay. And I was like, aren't you supposed to have like a gay bar? I was like, no, it's a bar. I'm like, everybody's welcome. He's like, oh, whatever. He's like, I expect it different from. I'm like, it's, well, first of all, can we just? I'm sorry. No, it was Arkansas. It was Arkansas.
Arkansas. Wow.
Arkansas. And I was like, can we just point that we're in Arkansas in a gay bar? Like, like, I think that's pretty much progressive. And I actually, it was Fayetteville, and I was like, wow, they're one of the most progressive towns I've ever been to.
Wow, I did not know that.
Even their all their bathrooms in their city in their city say whatever, just wash your hands.
Oh, wow, that's and amazing. I was like,
of course, Arkansas would be the one that's super progressive.
Yeah.
Out of all the places I've been,
yeah,
it's them.
Wow, that I would have never have imagined that, and that's, you know, just thinking of spending time like in West Hollywood and here in Vegas and in Chicago, Miami, you know, it's like you think of those places, Fayetteville. Wow. That's amazing.
super progressive. I was like, they had trans rights flags everywhere. They had pride flags downtown. It said safe place all over their windows. And I'm like, and Otis is like, wow, you would not expect this at all. Like this is very, very interesting.
You know, that brings up a very good question in terms of, I've never thought of this, but wrestling in a town like that, are the fans a little less rowdy and more acceptive of the show?
Oh, no. I love wrestling in those towns because I love wrestling in the South, because the South, you have to work harder to be a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Northern fans are smart fans. What California fans are smart fans.
Right.
Those are the game changer fans. Whatever they do, all their flips, that's what they want to see. They don't need character. They don't need story. They're more obsessed with the move than they are anything else. And these guys are cool because they talk to them on the internet, which is great because every area of the country is very different. But me and Effie will always say, it's really hard to get over in the South because the South doesn't use Twitter. They don't know who these people are. They know who John Cena is.
Right.
They know who WWE is because that comes every Monday and Wednesday night, and Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights now. Those are the people they know.
Right.
So being in the South, they want to see that. They don't want to see a Will Ospreay pose off. They don't want to see that because they'll be like, why are you doing all those flips? So me and Odinson, our style of wrestling is that style of wrestling they like.
Right.
They like the big badass guys beating the crap out of somebody, which becomes really difficult sometimes because we're supposed to be bad guys and we get cheered a lot.
Right.
I always say this, without our manager with us, Drennan, who we had in Evolve, people just cheer us. Just cheer us. No matter if it's a baby face or a heel, they just cheer us for beating them up.
Wow.
And that's everywhere. That's not just in the South. That's everywhere.
Everywhere. Wow.
People don't care if we win or lose. All they want to see us do is our music hit, beat the shit out of somebody, and leave. I swear to God, like, everybody always jokes, like, you guys have the easiest job.
Yeah.
Like, if people were to use you right, we should never be in the ring for 20 minutes. I don't want to see myself wrestle for 20 minutes. Like, personally, I hate when big men have the mic.
Yeah.
Like, me and Odinson hate when big men talk.
Yeah.
I always think it really, I'm sorry. When a big man's a badass, I hate when they talk.
Well, let me ask you that. You just hit on something that we've talked about in our wrestling talk with the big guy and the badass. What were your feelings on seeing the reveal of Brody Lee on AEW? And
that's a two-sided. That's a two-sided question. First, I don't think there should be any debuts or reveals during this time.
Good point. Good point.
I don't think. I don't. I think. First of all, they can sit on the shelf. It's okay. I understand that you had the storyline coming in the pipes.
Right.
But my opinion on this storyline, it was dead from the start.
That's a good point.
Uno and Dos, like, are amazing wrestlers.
Yeah.
And I love when they were baby faces. It came off very homoerotic. It confused fans, and nobody knew what they were.
Yep.
AEW's one major problem with their tag division, why I do enjoy their show, and you know, I have a lot of friends that work there, and everybody on that roster is extremely talented.
Yep.
But every tag team is the same tag team. Nobody's different. They have the, it's like buying the same color, it's buying the same shirt in a different color.
Yep.
There's no big men. Now they're starting to get big men on their roster, but
finally,
you know, they have a whole tag division that was catered to the how the Young Bucks wrestle.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like Penta and Rey are extremely talented. But I'm going to tell you, I've never seen them wrestle outside their style. Me and Otis always have to wrestle outside our style because there's not a lot of big men.
Yep.
Yeah.
So a lot of their stuff is catered to what they're good at. Great tag teams can wrestle outside their stuff. That's what makes great stories. Eddie Guerrero's greatest achievement was wrestling Brock Lesnar.
That's
when he became a star. He was over, but he was a mega star the moment he beat Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
Because it was a clash of complete styles. How many times did he wrestle Rey Mysterio in classics?
Right.
But that never got him the like accolade after he beat Brock. Eddie was looked as a totally different person, was he not?
Yeah.
That's so true.
And he was entrusted in turning over the belt then to JBL, who's another, you know, huge guy.
Which was one of the greatest storylines ever.
Yep.
With his family, with the bleeding in the cage, giving his mom a heart attack. Like, it was amazing. I still remember it.
Yep.
And I hated JBL. He made me hate JBL.
Yep. Yeah.
But those were JBL did not do one flip, but Eddie Guerrero could do it all.
Yep.
So my problem is there's nobody on the AEW roster that's a threat. But on the flip side, you know, WWE tends to not put over tag teams whatsoever.
Right.
You know,
right.
They had a tag team tournament and give it to Matt Riddle, who shouldn't be a tag team wrestler.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, Matt Riddle is a megastar.
Yeah.
Is a megastar.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm not just saying that because there's some people in any kind of sports. When I played football, I knew looking across the field, like, this guy is going to play in the NFL. This guy's a star.
Yeah.
This guy. Matt Riddle's a star. Like, has nothing to do about wrestling whatsoever. This guy's a megastar.
Yeah.
This is what TakeOver should have been him for the belt.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and that's my personal opinion. And, you know, I can say these things because the likelihood of me ever working for two of these companies are very slim. do I think I can? Of course. But, you know, there's other aspects in play.
What, you mean politics and wrestling? What are you talking about? Come on.
It's not even politics, you know. Like, I'm an openly gay wrestler that has you know, you can't hire everybody at once. Let's just
right.
Say.
Even yeah.
You can't have an LGBT storyline if you don't only have one LGBT wrestler.
Right.
You know, look at AEW. Sonny Kiss still has not made his debut on AEW.
Yep. Yeah.
We're over 30 weeks in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why?
Yep.
Sonny would be one of the most over things they had in that show.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree.
You know, so my problem with the debut, back to your question with debut, one, I don't see him as a cult leader.
Yep.
And I my problem is everybody's going to compare it to the Wyatts.
Yep.
Like Ray. I would have went back to what he's really, first of all, Brody's fucking amazing. One of the best big men out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't be touched. Should have been WWE champion.
Yep.
Should have.
Yeah. When he went back to Brody.
Yeah.
When he went back to Brody Lee. You know what I mean? When he went back to the fucking jeans and the white wife beater.
Yep.
Yep.
Totally.
That's when he's good. And that's what I thought they should have done with him. I don't understand why. It was almost like they had the story. They had two ideas and it didn't work out the way he wanted it to. And then Brody kind of fell in their laps and they're like, okay, we'll give him this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Brody's one of those people, like, I hate when they do cult leaders. The only one that did a cult leader right was CM Punk.
Yeah.
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 Because the idea is these people would sacrifice themselves for you.
Exactly. Yep.
That's what a cult leader is. Manson didn't murder anybody. They all murdered for him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what people forget. Manson didn't commit the murders, right?
Exactly.
It was the Manson family because they wanted to make him happy.
Yep.
And it's the same thing with Seth Rollins. I don't understand the Monday Night Messiah. Because
I don't get it.
He's getting his hands dirty.
Exactly.
Why would you get your hands dirty if you're the Messiah? Like, Punk sacrificed everybody before himself. And that's why you hated him.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. Example. Like, they had a match with Brody in front of nobody. And it's one of those things where I personally would have done it another way. I would have had get the faction involved.
Exactly.
Because, like, the faction jumps QT, destroys him. Brody, as Brody's walking to the ring, undressing, picks him up, and then hits him with the finisher.
And that's it. Yep.
And walks out. Doesn't say a word.
Yep, and that's the biggest thing. I think you said right there, we were on the same page with that. Why have him wrestle? And if he was going to wrestle, just have it over in like 30 seconds. You know, just have him destroy him. But also, don't have him talk. That's why he shouldn't be the leader. Have him just be this badass motherfucking guy that, you know, is like a Bruiser Brody. Where you just don't fuck with him, and
you could have done that. But I'm not saying that the storyline would have been terrible with him being a cult leader. Just don't have him talk. It should be the one that Uno, who's been talking the whole time,
right?
He's the only one that could talk to the Exalted One,
right?
Because now, why are those four guys important?
Exactly.
Right. Why do I need them?
Exactly. Yep.
That's my question. Like. But that's just, I'm one of those story guys that, like, I get really into, like, I'm a fan deep down. I'll always be a fan. You know, all those men, here's the other issue. Every one of those men that I've mentioned are all extremely talented. Not one of them is not talented.
Exactly.
All of them should be there. I'm always a big believer. People become successful like NFL team. Everybody on an NFL team is amazing. They're the best players in the world.
Right.
But you could, if they're put in the wrong position by a coach, a fan can look at it and be like, well, this dude sucks. We're also in a time where fans are not in the arena, okay? AEW relies a lot on the fans' energy.
Mm-hmm.
Their energy carries that show and dominates their social media. Yep. Without those fans, it's like reading a book. When you read a book, your imagination goes into play. You make your own assumptions, your own personality to the character you're reading, because there's nothing in front of you telling you what to cheer and boo for now.
Right.
Right. So it's like you read a book, you do this, and then the movie comes out and you're like, this movie's terrible. The movie could possibly not be terrible. It's just you read the book first and you made your own idea. That's my problem. I think we're going to run into going forward with wrestling.
Right.
Is right. Like now fans don't have the fans, both WWE and AEW, that are dictating like a laugh track for a late night show.
Yeah.
If you've watched the late nights, they're not as funny anymore.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Like, their jokes don't really stick with you. You're like, that's kind of mean.
But yeah.
You didn't
yeah.
realize it was kind of mean because before there was a laugh track over when they're making fun of Trump.
Right.
So now we're in that era of wrestling where now you have a lot of guys, especially they're using a lot of extras because a lot of guys can't get out of certain states because they're on lockdowns.
Right.
So now your build up to Mania or your build up to the cage matches are all kind of falling flat, it feels. And it's not their fault. We all have to deal with the coronavirus. We all do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't debut people during this time is what I my only thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's we all have to make do what we can. But I just think debuts right now, I think they could have been held off for two months.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people are going to be rebooted right after this is over.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Like, and then I'm looking at this. This will be, I feel like, the lost tapes of wrestling. This whole month, period. I think everybody's going to actively work, like, differently after this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, that's true.
Like, it's hard to build the promos, the feelings without the fans. It really is. It's like, do you remember when you were a fan and you used to watch it on TV and then you went to your first live event and you couldn't hear commentary?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how weird that felt?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's how it feels right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's hard. It's hard for a lot of the guys that, like, I always joke, hey, I've wrestled in front of nobody. I was like, when I started the independents 11 years ago, there was nobody in the stands.
Yeah.
Wrestling was officially dead when I started 11 years ago. There, like, me and Otis were joking about this the other day. It's like how a lot of these younger guys are all like, oh my God, this and that. And me and Otis were like, well, we can just rebuild it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we're the ones who rebuilt it.
Yep.
Like my generation of guys, like, because what happened was when I came into wrestling, there was only small amount of places you could work.
Yep.
And WWE didn't have the performance center and weren't hiring everybody and their brother on Tuesday, you know, WWE's like, It's like when you talk to people, I used to work for WCW. Apparently, WCW hired everybody back in the day. Because when I first started wrestling, everybody on the indies in the South was like, I worked for WCW. I'm like, who didn't? Like everybody in the state of Georgia on Ted Turner's payroll? Because every indie wrestler was like, hey, man, back when I was in WCW, I was like, you were too? I was like, damn. Actual funny joke is like, My buddy Irish Jack, who I started with, always when we're on the road, me, Otis, and Austin Theory used to tell everybody Jack was he used to wrestle in WCW, and everybody thought he did. that's how much everybody just threw around they worked in WCW. No, we used to tell everybody. He's like, he worked back in WCW. There's no way he could have worked in WCW. He was in, but everybody believed it. Like, everybody. Like, he's like, yeah, I was a jobber back then, man. And people buy the story. Like, because that's how much people used to say it. But when we first started, there really was no places to work. ROH was on like lockdown. Yep. It was the same guys that like were the same core roster for 6 years.
Right.
Of ROH. TNA, like, I was lucky. I got to do a lot with TNA because I was trained by the Dudleys. So right. Our school was used for extra work, and I did so much extra work, and I should have never been in the ring at that green, but I did. I learned what heat was real fast. I was in Aces and Eights for almost a whole year.
Oh man. Oh, yeah,
from day one. I was one of the original members of Aces and Eights.
And back then, remind me if I'm not mistaken, when they first came out, it was Black Hoods, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could not breathe in them. Okay.
Oh, so gosh.
They got us these motorcycle hoodies with the skeleton masks.
Yeah.
And they were legit motorcycle masks. They weren't like lucha masks.
Oh.
So, first of all, they're really hot under those lights. Oh. And you couldn't breathe because they were meant for you being on a motorcycle in the cold.
Right.
I remember doing a couple things with Samoa Joe, and he used to, when he was doing his thing in the corner, would turn my head thing around.
That's totally Joe.
And then he would turn it back around. Like, he's like, I love Joe. TNA was, there was a lot of good guys there. You know, I've been super kicked so much by James Storm. Like, I always joke with him. I'm like, one of these days, I'm going to kick you square in the teeth. Just kick you. We're not even going to be the match. I'm just going to kick you. Like, he's probably super kicked me maybe 50 times.
Oh, man.
I've got kicked so much by him. But it was a great learning opportunity. I got to be in the ring with Sting. I got to be in the ring with Hulk Hogan, Chavo Guerrero, Homicide, like every AJ, Devon, just everybody, Dreamer, Spike. So it was such a cool experience that I learned a lot from.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was my introduction to the wrestling world, because there wasn't a lot of places to work.
Right.
You know, it started the last four and a half years is when we started, like, right after Dallas's WrestleMania, independent wrestling started getting hot again.
Yeah.
That's when independent wrestling started getting hot. Dallas was the first time we had shows, independent shows, really packed. We had Evolve in Dallas, and that show was packed.
Yeah, that's right.
The rodeo. And then the following year in Orlando was crazy. Progress. That's when Game Changer came.
Oh, yeah.
And then the following year in New Orleans was Game Changer, Bloodsport, Progress again.
Mm-hmm.
Just sold out, just crazy in New Orleans.
Crazy crowds there.
And then New York City... the city doesn't shut down for the city doesn't care who you are. I just thought it was a bad place good place for WrestleMania, but terrible place for fans.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things is like people always like WWE doesn't like this. No, WWE loves independent wrestling. They want you to bring those fans. You're helping them turn it into one of the world's largest Comic-Cons without them having to pay for it. Also, you're bringing the biggest recruiting tool they have. Instead of sending their scouts, they can just go to shows. Yep. Do you know how many shows Regal goes to during WrestleMania?
Yeah.
How many Canyon Seaman goes to? They're everywhere. I see them at every show on that. At every show WrestleMania weekend. They're watching everything. That's what they do. So when people say WWE doesn't want it, no, they do.
Yeah.
I think next year's is going to be a very try hard WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
where they're going to spend a lot, and it's going to be difficult to get around because it's LA and nothing runs right in LA.
Right.
it just doesn't. It's like New York City. It has its own. It has its own mind and being. Tampa would have shut down for WrestleMania.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
that would have been everything. Like, New Orleans shut down for WrestleMania.
Yep.
Dallas shut down for WrestleMania. New York City's like, what's WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm.
And LA's going to do the same because it's LA. They're like, right. Oh, there's a show at the Staples Center? Okay. Is the whole thing? Like, but that's how it is. Like, you know, and WWE is going to spend a lot of money, and there's going to be a lot of marquee matches, but I don't think it's going to be a memorable, per se, WrestleMania. But I do think the following year's WrestleMania, that's the WrestleMania.
Yep.
2 years from now, that WrestleMania is going to be probably one of the most memorable WrestleManias ever.
And let's hope it's WrestleMania Las Vegas at that point.
That's right.
I personally think it's going to be WrestleMania Tampa.
Probably. Uh-huh. They've got to give it back to them.
They deserve it. They lost $500 million.
Yep, they got to give it back. Yep.
You know, it's just a good nudge.
Yep.
You know, and plus Las Vegas has gotten a lot of stuff lately.
True.
You know, like a sports team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the Raiders. You know,
yep.
You were supposed to get the NFL draft. Like,
yeah.
So I hope, just being a Florida resident, you know, it will be good for that economy. Like,
yeah.
And a lot of, like, one thing that we haven't talked about was the independent. I understand by saying this, I know every independent show throwing during WrestleMania weekend is a risk, is a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
But independent shows in general are a risk and a gamble.
Yeah.
But a lot of our major companies, where a lot of us work, literally are going bankrupt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they can't get that money back.
Yep.
You know, like, those venues are very expensive. You know, people spent hundreds of thousands of dollars with flights and talent, and it's not, and this is not major organizations.
Right.
Like, AEW and WWE have financial backers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
An independent company like Game Changer does not.
Yep.
That's homegrown. Like, everybody in that collective, that's just one person and his money for a business. And everybody that they rely on that. A lot of guys rely on what I said. This is where they're seen. This is their opportunity to break out. Every year, there's about 10 or 15 people that break out from WrestleMania, and that becomes their year.
Right. Yep.
You know, Effie broke out.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I broke out 3 years ago.
Yeah.
My debut at WrestleMania was in the title match at Evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, like, that was the day Drew McIntyre was pulled from our match by WWE.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I remember that.
They brought him to NXT. They made the decision to pull him to NXT that night.
That's right. Yep.
Because they saw him the night before. He looked like $1 million, and they're like, okay. and I will say this: one of the coolest things. He knew me nothing. Didn't even really know me at all. He just knew me from being there. And he came up to me and he, like, apologize for not being in the match.
Wow.
And I'll always remember that. He probably won't remember that, but I remember that.
Right.
He didn't have to do that. Nothing. Because if WWE called him, I'd be like, yo, peace out, guys.
Yeah.
You were cool. Fuck you. You were cool. Like, he didn't have to. But he came up to all of us and said, hey, guys, I'm so sorry. You know, I know that I'm supposed to be in the match tonight. You know, I'm going over to NXT. And I was like, yeah, man. Awesome. Okay. It's like, I was probably just going to get a claymore to the face, but yeah.
What I love too is that we were able to just get a half-baked reference in there.
Right?
Yeah. My roommate in college used to watch that movie all the time.
Oh, man.
He was also a huge stoner. Weird.
Yeah. Well.
No, but it just, I'll always remember that. It's just the little things in wrestling you remember. Like, you know, people that were, like, really cool with you along the way. And, you know, and even then, that's, I was only out to a few guys. Like, actually, I was out to like two people, and that was the night Riddle found out that I was gay.
Oh wow!
Riddle and Flip Gordon. We went to an after party, and I had brought Morgan, and Flip figured it out right away. He goes, "Hey, that's not your friend." He's like, I was a male cheerleader. He's more than your friend. And I was like, yeah, Flip, I'm gay. He's like, oh, that's awesome, bro. And I was like, thanks, Flip. And then Riddle was like, yeah, man, that's totally cool. I don't care. And I was like, because it was the first time I brought Morgan around the guys. Because yeah. It was WrestleMania in Orlando, and we lived there. And I was like, it was right after the show, and everybody's going out, and Morgan's driving me, and I was like, well, I can't, like, maybe I'll just get away with it. Nope, right away. Right when we walked in. I was like, what gave it away? He's like, your hand was on his ass? Apparently, like, I don't notice, like, sometimes, like, I put my hand, like, and I was like, way to be observant.
Oh man. Well,
I was like, and that's how they found out.
Oh man. We're going to wrap it up here really quick, and we definitely going to have you back on because we could talk forever, brother. This is awesome. No, final thought in terms of where you see the industry heading. I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of changes in the world itself, but do you see any things that might potentially stick in terms of the way things are being done now, that could potentially affect the future of pro wrestling?
Yes. I do have a large fear about independent wrestling. I do not want us to go back to, because we're going to see a hiring freeze in both all the major promotions. They're going to freeze hiring for a while.
Yep.
Because due to money, and because fans, it costs to go to shows.
Yep.
A lot of people are out of work. A lot of people don't have income. Without that extra income, they do not go to shows. So your larger companies are going to cut back on their hiring process at the moment. I do not want to see a stalemate at the top. That's what caused the death of the independents before, where all the top guys locked down the top spots and only gave their friends opportunities.
Yep.
That's why wrestling was dead. Right now, we're in an awesome place where people are giving everybody opportunities, and it's a rotating top where everybody takes a turn at the top now, where it's like continuously moving because people are filtering out of the system and going to WWE and AEW and all these other things. I just don't want us to get stuck at that level. I think we're going to have to get through that hiccup. And I think it's going to take close to WrestleMania next year to get through that hiccup.
Yeah.
That's my major problem. I also do think we're going to start to see smaller shows. I think AEW will go to an even smaller arena for a time being. I think NXT will be taken off of the USA network. I think it will go back to the streaming service to conserve money. To repackage it. It won't hurt it anyway. You're still going to get the same amount of viewers.
Right.
WWE itself won't change its structure. They're Disney.
Right.
If that makes sense.
That does,
yeah. The system works. Why? Like, it's a Marvel movie.
Exactly. Like,
every Marvel movie is the same. You always have to have comedy in a Marvel movie. Half their superhero movies are comedy now.
Yeah.
And that's what WWE is. WWE has a structure. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. AEW, on the other hand, is very fresh and it's very new, and they have new up-and-coming young characters, like a skateboarder. The emo kid. Like, they have different things that kids can attach to today.
Yeah.
They're in touch with kids. I'm just hoping that they keep going forward with it instead of backwards, because this is going to last till we're going to be stuck in our houses to about June.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a reality. We're going to have to stop thinking that there's an April start date. There is not. The likelihood is most of us are going to be stuck in our houses till about June.
Yeah.
Wrestling will start mid-June, maybe July. SummerSlam might be the first wrestling event, major wrestling event, back after this. Might. You know, and even then, there's going to be very much precautions with how we approach things. You know, this virus changed a lot of things. Cleanliness, for one thing. Especially for wrestlers themselves. You have to remember, we're in contact with so many people as wrestlers. We are so many different fans. And then we touch those fans, and then we wrestle other people. So we have to look inside ourselves and keep ourselves very, you know, safe and clean, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of little things that are going to change. Going to shows, you know, like, we're going to have to do it the old school way for a while. And I said this, you know, this is probably the last thing I'm going to say, because I said it the other night. As wrestlers, as promoters, as fans, we're all going to have to make sacrifices if we want wrestling to survive.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where we're honestly all in together. We are all going to have to make those sacrifices. You know, I know you want to be paid so well, and I know the promoter wants to save money, and I know the fan doesn't have the money to go to the shows. So now we need to figure out a way where we all can work together and make ourselves, even if we have to territory ourselves for a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, where the travel isn't so much,
yeah.
Whereas, you know, we're building up the fan bases again, because it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
It really is, you know, but I will say this, there's a lot of talented wrestlers, more than there has ever been.
Absolutely. Yep.
And there's more uniqueness in wrestling more than there's ever been. So with that creativity, that talent, and a lot more hungry people, I'm optimistic that we can make it through this hiccup.
Yeah.
But we have to work together. All of us, not just the wrestler and the promoter, the fan, we all have to make sacrifices.
Yep.
You know, this is going to be a rough, tough time. You're not going to be able to charge $30, $20 a ticket anymore.
Right.
You're just not.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to go back to charging $5 or $10. You know, you're not like WWE themselves. Their ticket prices are going to have to drop. And that's everywhere around, because people spend disposable income on stuff like that.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
So hopefully we all can make this through, you know, in the economy. I'm not so worried about the virus as much as I'm worried about the economy.
Exactly.
That's my fear. You know, the longer America goes without work, the harder our industry is going to be hit, because our industry is basically disposable income based.
Yep.
We are an enjoyment. We are an entertainment. We are not a necessity.
Right. Yeah.
We want to believe we're a necessity. Trust me. We would love that. But in the reality of things, sports are not a necessity. We are an entertainment business.
Yep.
We entertain you, you know, and for a while, you know, hopefully we can entertain everybody when this is over.
Well, I think that sums it up very well. And I think that once things get a little normalized and we're back to, you know, getting a chance to go to independent shows, I really hope that, you know, people will still have that drive and passion and still take their kids and let it grow. And especially, I hope that they support you. And if anyone is looking into getting hold of you through social media to follow you or to get any merch or anything like that, where can they go?
Well, I will always answer you on Twitter. I love talking to people. So it's @Paro_ @PARROW with a little underscore line. And you always can get me on Twitter. I'll always try to answer your question as best as humanly possible. Just be appropriate. Yeah. My mom reads it. Yeah. You know, those are always fun questions to when your mom asks you. I have a really cool mom, but still. You don't want certain questions asked by your mom.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Paro49 on Instagram. You know, those are basically just selfies of me and Morgan working out. So if you like my thought picks, now that everybody's doing them, it's cool. Still a little gay culture. I see you other indie wrestlers. Cool. You know, Instagram was for the gays. Yeah, but guess not. But I blame Faye Jackson and her sweatpants. actually, I thank Faye Jackson because Wednesdays were awesome. Because it was hump day, and I get to see tons of butts. And then Faye's like, let's do a gray sweatpants battle royal. And I was like, Faye, come on, girl. I love you. But those are the two that basically you could get me at. And the 49 stands for Pulse. I that is always my, you know, I keep the 49 on all my gear because, you know, it's in remembrance of the Pulse tragedy here in Orlando. Mm. You know, so I will always wear that on my gear no matter what, no matter what stage of the game I go to. It's my little way of keeping them, you know, their memories alive, you know, because we're in a world that everything happens. Look at us now, you know, we're in the middle of a coronavirus.
Yep.
And then, you know, and then after Pulse, it was mass shooting after mass shooting. Yep. You know, you had one in Las Vegas. You know, so so it's just my way of keeping them, you know, with me, because this is the city I came out in, this is my community, you know, and I live here, you know, this is where I found myself, and this is where I found my husband. So, you know, it's my way of keeping in touch with keeping true to my community, if that makes sense. But those are the two ways you totally can reach me. But Twitter, I'll definitely answer your questions.
It makes total sense, and I think that's very important, and I'm glad that we could end on that note, because that is something that, you know, will always resonate. You know, like you said, even here in Vegas, 10-1 is huge for us, and it's funny how we can take numbers like that and make numbers mean something more than just, you know, what they are for face value. So That's an amazing thought, and you know, I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to you, brother. It's been amazing, and I just can't wait till wrestling starts back up so we can watch more of your matches, man.
Without a doubt.
Well, until then, you can get All Japan, and we do very well over there. So if you're into two big giant guys wrestling other wrestling Japanese men, then we're your guys.
It will be a lot less than what I'm paying for it on this one website. So,
yeah. Well, the All Japan TV is pretty cheap. You know,
yeah.
And they have all the matches. And I will say, All Japan has a lot of upcoming great talent, and Akiyama's done an amazing job with all the young boys over there. If the rumors are true and WWE's getting him as a trainer, my God, the knowledge that man has, like, is amazing.
Yeah.
Like the matches he could, like, just the matches we did with him, and then him explaining the psychology behind it. And you're like, oh my God, that is brilliant. And then you're like, wait, how come I didn't think of that?
Yep.
and he's like, you young. I've been wrestling for 11 years. It just goes to show you, no matter how many years you have in wrestling, you're always going to learn.
Yep, exactly. Well, we appreciate everything, and it's been a pleasure, brother. And take care of yourself. Stay healthy. And, you know, all the best to you and the hubby. And enjoy the time you guys got together before you have to go back out on the road.
Yeah, I think he's liking it that I'm not away.
Yeah.
biggest bad boys of podcasting.